So hi everyone, and welcome to this week Quantum Gravity Seminar. Today we have Gustavo Pazzini de Brito from CP3 Origins, and he will talk about non-vanishing gravitational contribution to better data functions for vanishing dimensional pool regulators. So Gustavo, stage is yours.
Okay, so thanks Alessa for the introduction, and thank you for the invitation. It's very nice to have this opportunity to have this virtual visit at PI, and I mean it's a great opportunity to be able to present my work here. So as Alessa already said, I will talk here about non-vanishing gravitational contribution to matter beta functions for vanishing dimension full regulators, which is actually based in this recent paper that I wrote in collaboration with Astrid Eichhorn. So I want to start my presentation by posing the question that we had in the back of our minds when we actually started this project. So the question is, what is the effect of quantum graft on the flow, on the randomization group flow of matter couplings? And just to get everyone on the same page here, when I refer to matter couplings, I refer to any coupling that is associated to some degree of freedom that is not related to gravity. So standard model couplings, including fermions, gauge bosons, Higgs, and so on, or even beyond standard model fields. So to give you a motivation on why do I care about this question and why do I think that this question is important, I'm actually going to embed this in a larger picture, which is actually related to a search of a fundamental theory that describes both gravity and matter fields in a quantum way. We know very well that this kind of enterprise has several challenges which are related to the construction of a consistent theory of quantum gravity. But what I want to emphasize here in my presentation is that there are also very important and very challenges and very interesting challenges that are related to the matter side of this enterprise. In particular, one of them is that the standard model breaks down at transplanking energies. A direct consequence of that is that even if you manage to overcome all the challenges that are related to the gravity side of this enterprise, so if you manage to construct a consistent theory of quantum gravity, then it's still not straightforward that you can actually include matter fields in a suitable way. So you have to overcome this challenge. And the point of view that I'm taking here in my presentation is that these two different sectors of this fundamental theory that includes both gravity and matter, they actually don't exist in an independent way. Which actually means that we have a kind of interplay between gravity and matter. And what I want to emphasize here in my presentation is that this interplay can actually be useful in order to overcome some of the challenges that are related to the matter sector of a fundamental theory. So to be a bit more precise, let me take as an example the renormalization group flow of an abelian gauge coupling. You can think about about this example as, for example, the hypercharged sector of the standard model. And we know, for example, here I'm just showing the beta function associated to an abelian gauge coupling. And we know from, for example, one loop calculations or even from higher loop calculations that we have this kind of anti-screening beta function, which means that I have this positive beta function for positive values of the gauge coupling. And this has actually very important consequences and very actually problematic consequences. The first one, there are actually two ways that you can face the problems that are related to this kind of beta function. The first one that I want to emphasize here is that you basically have this free fixed point located at vanishing coupling, which essentially means that if you want a UV complete theory, including an abelian gauge sector, then you need to start at a fixed point in the ultraviolet regime And this kind of beta function here basically gives you a flow that is trivial along all energy scales. So you cannot connect a UV complete theory of a billion, including a billion gauge couplings, to non-vanishing values in the infrared, which is actually required by phenomenology. The other point of view that you can take here is that if you start, if you have non-vanishing values in the infrared, and here I have some trajectories with non-vanishing values in the infrared, then the abelian gauge coupling grows with the energy scale. And it grows in such a way that at some finite energy scale, it hits a Landau pole. And different values of the infrared, different values of this infrared coupling leads to different position of the Landau poles, which basically determine when, the theory, this effective description breaks down. But now I want to add gravity to this game. So I want to include gravitational contribution to the flow of gauge couplings. And I want to explore with you basically three possibilities that we have once we add gravity in this game. The first possibility is that gravity has no effect on the flow of on the renormalization group flow of the abelian gauge coupling. So it has does not give any contribution to this beta function beta g. And in this case here, the beta function just stays the same and all the problems remains the same. The second possibility is that gravity acts with some anti-screening, with screening contributions to beta g, which means that this beta function becomes even more positive than the original one, which does not solve any problem. So it actually makes the problem even more complicated because it essentially reduces the scale of the Landau poles. But the third possibility, which is, in my opinion, the most appealing from the physical point of view, is that gravity can actually act with anti-screening contribution to this beta function. And the reason why this is interesting is that basically with this type of anti-screening contribution, so with this beta function here in this blue curve, we basically have two possible fixed points, so two possible values for the couplings where the beta function vanishes, which gives us two different possibilities for UV completion in this abelian gauge sector. So the first one is actually related to these trajectories here in this purple lines that I'm showing here. And they are actually connecting the vanishing, the free fixed points in the ultraviolet to non-vanishing values in the infrared. So in this kind of situation here, I have a kind of gravity-induced asymptotically freedom. The second possibility is related to the existence of this interacting fixed point here, so a fixed point with non-vanishing value for the coupling. And for this interacting fixed point, ultraviolet completion can be achieved in terms of this kind of trajectory here that connects, that uniquely connects the fixed point in the ultraviolet with non-vanishing values in the infrared. And of course, we also have, depending on the values in the infrared, we can also have trajectories that still hit a Landau pole. But so far, so good. So I think that these are very interesting possibilities because it shows how this interplay between gravity and matter could, in principle, solve problems related to the matter sector, in particular here to the abelian gauge sector. But we need to actually determine what are the gravitational contribution to this flow. And for that, we need practical calculations. And this has been done by many people, so by using different techniques. And the result of these practical calculations actually lead to very conflicting results. And I want to explore a little bit what are the conflicting opinions concerning this question. So I want to start here from the perturbative perspective. So from calculations of this gravitational contribution to the flow of gauge couplings within the context of perturbative quantum gravity. So in a kind of effective field theory point of view. And there are, and in this perturbative framework, there are a kind of a separation between two different parts of the literature. The first part of the literature claims that gravity actually gives this anti-screening contribution to the beta function of the gauge coupling. So here I show this kind of bit of anti-screening contribution, which is basically characterized by this minus sign here. This minus sign is what determines this anti-screening behavior, which is good if this actually happens, because this shows the possibility of realizing the scenario where gravity induces some kind of UV completion in the matter structure. On the other hand, there is another part of the literature which claims that this contribution, this kind of gravity contribution to the flow of gauge couplings, cannot be associated with any physical meaning. And the reason for that is that this kind of contribution carries several types of scheme dependencies. There are gauge dependencies, there are dependencies associated with regularization choices, and so on. But the main argument behind this part of the community is that we can set this gravitational contribution to the flow of gauge coupling to be zero by an appropriate choice of scheme. So that's more or less the overview of the perturbative community on the question of what is the effect of gravity to the flow of matter couplings. But now I want to also give you the asymptotically safe perspective to this question. And for those that are not familiar with asymptotic safety, let me quickly give you an introduction to asymptotic safety. The basic idea is that an asymptotically safe theory extends the notion of renormalizability beyond a perturbative scenario. And the way that it extends this notion of perturbative renormalization is that it basically demands a new symmetry, which is actually a quantum scale symmetry. In a language of renormalization group, this basically means that it demands fixed points, which are characterized by, which are basically points in a coupling space where all the beta functions vanish simultaneously. This is the general notion of asymptotic safety. So this is valid in principle. This is the notion in principle for any quantum field theory. For a general quantum field theory. But the way that this connects to gravity is in terms of this conjecture that gravity can be quantized in an asymptotically safe way. So this conjecture claims that there is actually a fixed point in a coupling space that includes gravity. Of course, that this conjecture has to be checked. Ideally, we would like to prove this, but we cannot do that. So we want to at least find evidences for this conjecture. And this is actually, these evidences, they exist, and they are actually supported by many studies involving functional renormalization group. And in particular, as I said before, I want you to address this question of this search of a theory that includes both gravity and matter. And in this asymptotic safety perspective, this basically means that I want a realization of this quantum scale symmetry in a coupling space that involves both gravity and matter couplings. And from this perspective, we actually have quite compelling evidences that the kind of anti-screening behavior that I was describing before is necessary the kind of anti-screening gravitational contribution is necessary for gravity inducing a safe trajectory of standard model couplings. So the idea is that in this asymptotic safety perspective, This kind of anti-screening contribution to standard model couplings or standard model-like couplings, they are very welcome to the realization of this whole scenario. But let me again go back to the flow of abelian gauge coupling. In most of my talk, I will focus in this sector because it already brings all the qualitative features that I want to discuss with you. But at some point, I will also mention other sectors of standard model. Going back to the flow of the abelian gauge coupling, have in mind here the hypercharge coupling. We can take this one loop contribution to the beta function of the hypercharge coupling, which gives us this beta function that I already showed before with this kind of screening behavior. And what I want to do here is include a gravity contribution here. So the way that I'm doing here is basically by parameterizing this contribution in terms of this quantity FG here. And this FG here can be, it's basically related to what we get from loop integrals in a given functional randomization group calculation. And as I said before, what we would like to have from the asymptotic safe perspective is this kind of positive value for this FG, which corresponds to an anti-screening behavior of this gravitational contribution, which potentially can lead to gravity-induced UV completion of matter of the gauge cap of the gauge sector. Putting in a more qualitative way, things that I already discussed before. Quantitative way things that I already discussed before, sorry. This type of scenario here with this positive FG, this basically gives us two possibilities for UV completion. The first one is this Gaussian fixed point here, or this free fixed point with vanishing coupling. And the second possibility is related to a non-vanishing or a non-Gaussian fixed point, which is proportional to this gravity contribution to the flow of gauge couplings. Of course, this positive behavior has to be checked by explicit calculations. And what we have from many calculations from the FRG, from many practical calculations from the FRG, are indications that support this kind of positive FG contribution, or this positive anti-screening gravitational contribution. However, this FRG calculations, was there a question? Sorry. However, this kind of FRG calculations, they are also permeated with all sorts of non-universality. So let's try to understand a little bit more possible source, at least one possible source of non-universality from the FRG framework. To give you a general idea of what is the functional normalization group, or the FRG, this is basically a stepwise realization of a Pfaffi integral quantization. So this basically means here that I'm writing here Euclidean functional integral, and I have to add here the disclaiming that everything that I'm going to talk from now on is related to Euclidean calculations. And there is a challenge on how to transport this to Lorentzian calculation, but I will not touch this in my presentation. So let's just assume from now on that we are in this Euclidean framework. And the idea behind the FRG is that we actually modify a Pfaffi integral by introducing this kind of term here, which is a kind of infrared regulator. So this RK here is what we call a regulator function, or a cutoff function. And this basically plays the role of suppressing modes that are with momentum lower than a certain RG scale K. And once you suppress, once you perform this integration in a stepwise, in this stepwise way involving this this FRG regulator, we can actually define this flowing effective action here, which is another function that, basically gives us an effective description of what is happening once you integrate DAOM modes above a certain RG scale. Okay, so to give you the intuitive picture here, this if you think in terms of momentum scale, this function of gamma k here, this flowing effective action, essentially encodes quantum fluctuations that are above this momentum scale. We can use this function over normalization group framework in particular to derive beta functions. I won't discuss how we do that, but let's just assume that we can do that. But this, as I said before, the flow that we can extract from the FRG formulation is non-universal. And part of this non-universality, and this is the type of non-universality that I want to discuss in my presentation, comes from the type of regularization that we use in the FRG. So we have here this regulator function, which in general I can essentially parameterize in momentum space in terms of this object here that I'm calling a shape function. Here I'm showing some plots with typical choices of shape functions. And these plots here, different possibilities here, they basically show some of the general properties that this shape function has to satisfy. For example, it has to diverge for small values of momentum, and it has to go to zero in a sufficiently fast for large momentum. So these are the general features that this shape function has to satisfy in order to properly regulate the path integral and to define to actually give us a well-defined flow. But what is going on here in this core here, in this intermediary region, is actually quite arbitrary. So as you can see here, I'm showing different examples of shape functions. And what is going on in this intermediary region depends on the specific type of shape function that I'm using. To show how this kind of arbitrariness on the shape function connects to what I was telling you before, I'm showing here the results for the gravitational contribution, again, to the flow of gauge couplings, so to the flow of abelian gauge couplings. And here I show the results, so this gravitational contribution to beta g in terms of two different shape functions. The first one is this deleting shape function, which basically is a kind of sharp implementation of this regulator function. And the second one is this exponential shape function, which does this regularization procedure in a smooth way. As we can see, the values that we get for the beta functions is actually different from for different shape functions, which is which shows explicitly this the kind of universality that I was talking about, non-universality that I was talking about. But from this example here, we can see a very nice feature that's in both cases we have this negative contribution, which is basically the statement that from FRG calculations we get this anti-screening contribution to the flow of abelian gauge couplings. Now I want to move to the main topic of my presentation. So to what is actually new here in my presentation, and the idea is that we want to study this kind of non-universality using a new class of regulator that was recently introduced in the asymptotic safety community and in the functional renormalization group community. So this was originally proposed by Alessio Baldassi, Roberto Percacci, and Luca Zambelli, and they call this vanishing regulators. And the idea is that we are actually defining a class of regulators that are characterized by this one parameter family of shape functions, which I mean, besides the standard shape function from the FRG, so from shape function satisfying the usual the usual requirements from the FRG, we also introduced this modulating parameter, which basically allows us to modulate the amplitude of this shape function. Here I'm showing some examples. I mean, we can basically construct explicitly versions of this vanishing regulator by using an explicit version of standard shape function or normalization group shape functions. Here I show the kind of leading type vanishing regulator shape function. And here I show this exponential type of vanishing regulator function. These are the two regulators that I will cover, that I will discuss during the rest of my presentation. So I will show several results that were computed in terms of this two different shape functions here. So I think it's useful to have in mind this nomenclature. The first one is the leading regulator and the second one is the exponential regulator. And as I said, this in this vanishing regulator, this class of vanishing regulators, we have this modulating parameter here, or this interpolating parameter here. And the reason why this is called a vanishing regulator is that we are actually interested in this vanishing regulator limit, which corresponds to set this parameter to zero. So if we just set the parameter here to zero, what happens is that we remove the regulator. So we basically by setting this this parameter to zero, we can allow, I mean, we are actually able to remove the regulator from our calculation. And the reason why we want to take this vanishing regulator limit, and I want to be able to present a proof here, but the reason why we want to take this limit is that this limit allows us to select universal contribution from calculations. And this is an interesting property of this type of regulator. So we want to apply what we actually did in our work was to apply this type of vanishing regulator, this class of vanishing regulators, to a setting that includes both gravity and the standard model like interactions. So we are doing an FRG calculation, which basically means that we have to start from an ansatz for this flowing action. And then we can basically run the FRG machinery and extract the beta functions from there. And the ansatz that we start was basically includes an Einstein-Hilbert kind of term in the gravity side and this kind of standard model-like interactions. So I'm saying here standard model-like interactions because they are not actually, I mean, this is not actually the standard model action because it does not carry all the signatures of the standard model, but we have here the main ingredients that we expect from that we have in the standard model. So we have here a gauge sector. In this case, I'm using I'm focusing in the abelian gauge sector. But we also have a scalar sector, which in our case here includes a quartic coupling, so it mimics what we have with the Higgs potential. I mean, in particular, with the quartic coupling of the Higgs potential. And we also have a fermionic sector, which involves Yukawa interaction, which is a type of interaction that is present in the standard model. So we can apply the FRG machinery to the setup. And this basically allows us to extract the gravitational contribution to the flow of matter couplings using the type of vanishing regulator that we discussed before. So here I'm showing this parameterized version, and I won't show the explicit expression for in all the cases. But what is important to emphasize here is that in each one of these cases here, we have this A-dependent contribution. Okay, so I discussed in the beginning of my talk, I discussed interesting possibilities that are associated to the abelian gauge sector. There are also very interesting possibilities associated with non-vanishing values for for these contributions in the Quartic Scalar sector and in the Yukawa sector, but I won't have time to go into the details related to this possibility, so I just give you some references here that might be useful. And the main idea behind our project is to use the vanishing regulator, the class of vanishing regulator, as a way to interpolate between standard FRG results, so standard results computed within the FRG framework, which we can get from these kind of calculations by setting this modulating parameter to one. And we can interpolate and connect this to a class of universal results that we can obtain with the vanishing regulator limit, namely in the limit where we set this parameter to zero. As a disclaimer here, let me just remind you that when I'm talking about universal results here from now on, I'm referring to universality with respect to shape function. So I'm not covering I'm not covering other types of universality, of non-universalities that we might have in our calculation. So for example, gauge fixing and so on. So moving on directly to the results, let me focus here in the abelian gauge sector once again. And here I'm showing the explicit expressions for this for the gravitational contribution. So for FG, computed in terms of two different shape functions. So for the leaching type shape function and for the exponential type of shape function. And in this plot here, I show what is going on when we actually interpolate between the FRG, the standard FRG calculation. So which corresponds to this region here where goes to one, and we interpolate this with, we connect this with the vanishing regulator limit. As we can see here, I mean, we can see both from the expression, but also from the plots, both contributions for non-vanishing values of A, they are different, which, I mean, is something that we already expected, given that we have this kind of regulator non-universality for non-vanishing values of A. And what we observe here is that when we approach the vanishing regulator limit, we actually have a kind of universal scaling that basically behaves with this A log A contribution. And in particular, when we actually take the limit, the vanishing regulator limit, the FG contribution vanishes for both type of regulators. But this is not the full story. What I'm telling you here is the naive way of taking this limit. And this is the naive way because I'm basically ignoring any dependence on the Newton coupling. So here I have the dimensionless and Newton coupling that I construct by basically multiplying the dimensional full Newton coupling by an appropriate power of the RG scale. But I'm basically ignoring the dependence of the Newton coupling in terms of this modulating parameter A. And the reason why I have to include a given dependence I have to include some dependence of G in terms of A is basically because if I compute the flow of the Newton coupling, I see that there is an explicit dependence on A. So this basically means that when we take the vanishing regulator limits, we need to do this in a careful way, such that I also take into account the dependence of G, I also take into account how G depends on A when I compute this limit for FG. I will not discuss this limit along the flow, but I will focus in the fixed point regime, and I will give it a motivation on why to focus in the fixed point regime later. But if we consider the fixed point regime, which we can compute from this beta function here, we see that we have this fixed point value for the Newton coupling, which in general, so in this interpolating picture that connects the standard FRG result with the vanishing regulator limit. We have this kind of behavior here, this kind of A dependence in here. And what is important about this plot is, first is that for non-vanishing values of A, we have different results for different types of regulator as expected. But once we approach A equals zero, so when we approach the vanishing regulator limit, in both cases, we have the same scaling. So we have a kind of universal scaling for both types of regulators. And in particular, the scaling here is of the type 1 over A log A. And this type of scaling is particularly interesting because now we can try to combine what we have from the scaling of FG with the scaling of the fixed point value for the Newton coupling, and finally compute this limit in an appropriate way. So as we can see here, and I think that this is a kind of non-trivial result because in principle there was no there is no a priori justification for this type of scaling in both sectors. But as we can see here, the vanishing behavior in FG is essentially compensated by the divergence of the fixed point value on the Newton coupling. And as a result, we get a finite value for FG evaluated at the fixed point once we take the vanishing regulator limit. Here I show the plot of what is going on here in this interpolating picture. So we start from different values for non-vanishing values of A. So for example, for the standard FRG regulator, and then we connect this to a universal value when we take the vanishing regulator limit. And I want to emphasize here I'm showing the picture for two different types of regulator. So this was done with a split calculation with two different types of regulator. But thanks to an argument given by Benjamin Knorr, who I think it's here in the audience, we can actually show that this can be extended in general. So this is actually, this number here, this 10 over 17, it can be obtained independent of the form of this shape function. And as I said before, I want you to justify why I'm focusing in the fixed point regime, and the reason is that there is a very nice relation between this FG evaluated at the fixed point with critical exponents. So here I'm showing again the beta function for the abelian gauge coupling. Now, taking this non-vanishing value for FG, so this positive value, this anti-screening contribution from gravity, and we basically have these two fixed points here: the free fixed point, the Gaussian fixed point, and the interacting or non-Gaussian fixed point. And as we can see here, the critical exponents that are associated to each one of this fixed point can be directly associated to FG evaluated at the fixed point. So that's the reason why we are focusing in the fixed point regime. And this is of physical relevance in the sense that you can actually argue that critical exponents, differently from fixed point values or beta function contributions, critical exponents are actually universal quantities. So what we are showing here with this limit is that for this type of universal quantities, so for critical exponents, we can get a finite result in this vanishing regulator limit where we select only universal contribution from this type of vanishing regulator strategy. I briefly show here results for the scalar quark coupling and for the Yukawa coupling. We can see that we have a quite similar situation here. So different results for non-vanishing values of A, in particular non-vanishing results for the standard FRG regulator with A equal one, and but also non-vanishing results and therefore non-vanishing critical exponent value for the vanishing regulator limits. Now I'm in position to in a position where I can go back to my original question, the question that was motivating this project, which is what is the effect of quantum gravity on the flow of matter couplings, and then I can give you some. We can discuss some lessons that we can learn from this vanishing regulator strategy, and hopefully present a new perspective on how to face this question. So the first lesson that we extracted from our analysis was that if we take this vanishing regulator limit in a type of naive way, so if we disconsider the A dependence of G, so if we just focus on the gravity contribution to the beta function, then we can actually get a vanishing result in the vanishing regulator limit. This type of result kind of resonates with what part of the perturbative studies argue, part of the perturbative community argues, in the sense that you can eliminate the gravity contribution to the flow of gauge couplings by an appropriate scheme dependence. But we also have a different perspective. If we look at this limit in a more consistent way, by fully taking into account the A dependence of all the objects that we have in the beta function. So if we do that, we find a non-vanishing result at the fixed point regime. So in particular, a non-vanishing result when we take into account the vanishing regulator limit. And this, in our opinion, so this is a kind of non-trivial indication that gravity can actually induce some kind of ultraviolet completion for gravity and matter. But still, we have this different situations depending on the type of regulator that we consider. And they basically resonate with different perspectives on the question that I was raising before. And the point that I would like to raise here is that in the first version of this limit, from this naive regulator limit, what we did was actually to focus in a kind of non-universal quantity. So we are actually focusing in the direct gravity contribution to the beta function. And contributions to beta functions are in general non-universal, with some exception, but in general, we can show that beta functions are non-universal. And with the second version, so focusing in the fixed point regime, we were actually probing a kind of universal quantity. So we were actually focusing on the critical exponent that is a universal quantity. And therefore, I personally believe that this kind of vanishing regulator limits gives a non-trivial indication for UV completion based on this type of universal quantities. With this, I arrive at my last slide. So I just want to present you some concluding remarks. So in this talk, I try to offer a new perspective on this conflicting results involving the gravity contribution to the flow of matter couplings, in particular, conflicting results involving different conclusions from perturbative studies and a different perspective from the asymptotic safety community. For that, to give this different, this new perspective, what we did was to use this vanishing, was from the functional randomization group perspective. We employ this class of vanishing regulator limits as a way of extract universal pieces from non-universal quantities. And this non-universal quantities were the beta functions. We found two different situations depending on the way that we take this limit. The first one was this naive regulator limit that leads to vanishing contributions to the flow of matter beta functions. But we also find this non-trivial result. So this non-trivial results, this non-trivial contribution, once we take into account once we look at the fixed point regime. And the interpretation about this difference here is that we are actually focusing in, I mean, we are actually looking at different kinds of contribution objects that have different status. In the first case, we are focusing in non-universal quantities. So we can actually find a kind of scheme where we can make these contributions to vanish. While in the second one, we are focusing in universal quantities, in particular, to critical exponents. And I want to conclude here, offering a perspective that we have in mind, which is that we think that would be interesting to try to explore this type of universal quantities, for example, critical exponent, starting already from the perturbative setting. So the idea here is see whether from perturbative calculations, if instead of focusing on the non-universal part, so to the direct contribution to matter beta functions, if we can actually extract this kind of non-trivial results, in particular associated with critical exponents, from this different perspective. And this is something that we have been working on. And at the moment, we are discussing some things that are still in a functional renormalization framework, but using a type of regulator that actually mimics the MS bar scheme, so it makes some contact with perturbative calculations. So yeah, that's basically what I wanted to tell you. So thank you very much for the attention. And yeah,
thanks, Uso, for the very nice talk. So are there questions first from students? So I don't see questions from students right now. Are there questions from anyone else here or on Zoom? Okay, so let me start while others think about questions. Everything is related in a sense to the sign of FG. So can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you, yes.
Okay, and the first question, are you aware of any regulator that flips the sign of FG so that can make it negative? And related to that, so it is true that one can extract a universal part that is probably related, maybe related to the critical exponents, but if FG would be negative, then there would be no fixed point, and therefore one could not talk about critical exponents, universal quantities in that case. So how do these things connect?
Yeah, okay, thanks. This is a very good question. So no, I'm not aware of any regulator that allows you to flip the sign. And in particular, so here I want to recall this result from this paper by Sarah Folkett, Daniel Litin, and Jan Paplowski, where they explore this question from the FRG perspective. And what they show in this paper is that what you can have is a regulator that makes this FG equal zero, provided that you can satisfy a given kinematic identity. But within the setting that they discuss in there, FG has to be positive. I also have to add here that there is actually the possibility of flipping the sign of FG by varying the gravitational, parameters in the gravitational sector. For example, if I include a cosmological constant, so in my discussion here, I basically ignored the cosmological constant in my truncation for technical reasons. But if I include the cosmological constant, then there is a chance, for example, that's going to, I'm pretty sure that depending on the value of the cosmological constant, I can flip the sign. For your second question, this is actually what happens in the case of the Yukawa coupling. As you can see here, this Yukawa coupling is negative. And in this case here, we don't have UV completion for in the Yukawa sector. But this was already expected since we are starting from a setup without cosmological constants. In this case here, you can it's still possible to associate this FG here with the critical exponents for the Gaussian fixed point. But we don't have the non-Gaussian fixed point to associate this to a critical exponent.
Are there other questions? So there is one question by Mark.
Yeah, so thank you for the nice talk. I'm still confused about the size of the anomalous dimensions. It seems like your fixed point value for the Newton coupling kind of diverges. So is it clear that all anomalous dimensions remain finite and value? And how can I see that easily?
I don't see a clear way to see that in principle. This is a very good question, and we actually this was one of the points that I was worried about when I did these calculations. I don't see a way to see this in an intuitive way, but from calculations that include the anomalous dimension, for example, from calculations that include the graviton anomalous dimension, for example, you can actually show that the scaling behavior that you get from splicity A dependence essentially compensates with the scaling behavior of the Newton coupling, and then you get a finite anomalous dimension. A finite and small anomalous, is not a small anomalous dimension. But basically, it's something that's, I don't see an argument a priori. So this was something that we had to check with explicit calculation. And the mechanism is basically the same as here. So we have this A log A contribution compensating with 1 over A log A contributions.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Following up on a previous question, since you mentioned the cosmological constant, so what's the qualitative effect in general? Do you still get universal results at all if you include the cosmological constant, or is there then some scheme dependence due to the inclusion of that?
Yeah, thanks for the question. This is a good question, and this is actually a question that I have thought, but I don't have a clear answer for that. So I would expect that you still have universal results even with the inclusion of cosmological constant. But it's not clear to me whether this can flip the sign when you go to the vanishing regulator limits or not. So this is something that I would need to check. Originally, we tried to explore some of these results, including the cosmological constant. But then we had some technical problems with that because it was difficult to control in a numerical way this kind of divergent behavior and compensate everything in a numerical way. Because once you have cosmological constant, then you have to solve the fixed point equations numerically, right? But yeah, right now I have an idea on how to approach this problem, but I don't have results. So I still expect to have the same kind of universality, but I cannot say anything about changes of signs and so on from the inclusion of the anomalous dimension.
I see. Yeah, so I think the one thing that might be a problem is that if you have a negative mass term and you take the vanishing regulator limit, you have something like p squared minus mass squared, and you integrate over momentum, so you could get a pole there, which you don't get for a massless field. Maybe this is one of the problems that you've encountered.
Yeah, it's possible, but so one of the things that we saw with this preliminary analysis with the involving the cosmological constants was that at the fixed point regime you actually have the a log a type of scaling as well. So I'm not sure if it was a log a, but the fixed point value for the cosmological constant was actually tending to zero. In the vanishing regulator limit. So okay. There is a chance that the qualitative picture stays the same.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Right. Other questions here or on Zoom? Okay, so if not, let's thank again Gustavo for the nice talk and for the discussion.